Good morning and welcome. If you would, I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at that last part of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 13 to 28 in this message. I've entitled Choose a Disciplined Lifestyle in this series, Principles of a Fulfilled Life. From the Sermon on the Mount. Fulfillment of the Great Commission does not mean that a majority will respond with genuine faith. True believers are a small portion of people, and faithful Christians are an even smaller portion. This final segment of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount applies to every Christian. It deals with a disciplined lifestyle, a trustworthy leadership, and a stable foundation. The Lord presents two lifestyles to choose from. One of them is to be desired. The other is to be avoided. Every day of the Christian life demands a renewed commitment. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Jesus, the master teacher, instructed his disciples regarding those two lifestyles using pictures that we're going to consider in this message this morning. First, Jesus compared the entrance to life as a gate. Look at verses 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way to heaven is narrow and not routinely entered. The way to hell is wide and full of people." Jesus was referring to ancient cities which were surrounded by walls and entered through gates. Some of the gates were connected to broad avenues of the city, allowing large crowds to pass through. Gates for private purposes were narrow, and only a few people would be seen entering by them. The path to heaven is narrow, with persons often traveling alone. On the other hand, the way to hell is broad and multitudes crowding it. A choice is before every person. Travel the narrow road of life, the one less used, the disciplined way of living, the holy life. The alternative is the wide road, the crowded path of life that just goes with the flow. A lifestyle easily found versus the God-ordered life. The desirable life requires work to find. The one to avoid has neon lights all over it. Even among believers, we find the many and the few. The few who hear and obey the Lord's commands, and the many who hear only. It's a tragedy that, like the world, the church is littered with wasted lives. Someone said, "The only part of the Bible you truly believe is the part you obey." Real Christian living comes only to those who are willing to pay the price. So Jesus compared the entrance to life as a gate. Second, Jesus taught false prophets as wolves in trees. Verse 15, down to verse 23. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Things are not always what they appear to be. That is what hypocrisy is all about. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 down to verse 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Another picture of very hungry wolves, ravenous wolves, who kill and eat. Dogs are too ignorant to understand truth. Swine will attack those who present the truth, but wolves will draw away from the truth and consume. They are most dangerous. A false prophet teaches incorrect doctrine or falsely claims to have divine inspiration. The sheep is a symbol of innocence and sincerity. Coming in sheep's clothing assumes the appearance of sincerity while the heart is instead evil. False teachers may at first be interesting, but they should be judged not by their appearance, but rather by the character and effects of their principles and conduct. They are bent on devouring the flock. It's a tragedy that such men and women have appeared throughout history, always finding victims. Using another image, Jesus taught that false prophets are like bad trees producing rotten fruit. He contrasted the quality of fruit of good trees against the rotten fruit of bad trees. Religious leaders who focus on themselves, concerned primarily about their own reputation, produce only evil fruit. Jesus stated an agricultural fact. Good trees will produce good fruit, but bad trees cannot. Bad trees will produce bad fruit, but good trees will not. We do not judge a tree by its leaves, or its bark, or its flowers, but by the fruit it bears. The flowers may be beautiful and fragrant. The foliage may be thick and green. But that is just merely ornamental. It's the fruit that matters. So, what is Jesus saying? Do not accept teachers just because they sound good. They may look like sheep, but they're really wolves. The prophet's true colors are revealed by his fruit. Jesus addressed hypocrisy in church leaders. There are con artists who look good on the outside, but are corrupt on the inside. The fruit of their lives contradicts their claims. He had already warned against prejudgment or quick judgment. In this passage, he encouraged to make careful judgment. Moral weakness in the lives of Christian leaders hinders the power of the church's witness. Those who seek to influence others without maintaining their own integrity are hypocrites, forfeiting the right to lead. Greed, dishonesty, immorality. Forgiveness is available to those who sin, but the qualification for the trust of leadership is damaged. Sin always has consequences. A person's most destructive enemy is often within him. Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. And then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." They appeared to be religious, but they were not at all righteous. The church gets these types sometimes as members. Religious activity only in the church versus a true personal relationship with Christ outside of the church. Sometimes there is the appearance of being religious, prophesied in your name, or cast out demons in your name, or done many wonders in your name, but never choosing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus declared, "I never knew you." He confirmed there are some pretenders crying, "Lord, Lord," yet refusing to do the will of God. Wow. They sought to fool Jesus himself. The Lord exposed those who never really chose him. He declared that he never knew them, that they are unrighteous and eternally lost. Verse 23 again, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Beware of who you trust to be your religious leaders. Wise builders make choices in life. Are you saved? Look at chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you acknowledged your need and called on the Lord's name? Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 down to verse 27. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built the house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is the Christian foundation of life. Many people live an accidental Christian life in decisions, not building firmly on the rock, who is Christ. Building the right way involves paying the price of long-term personal commitment to get it secure. Jesus presented two responses to his teaching: building wisely and building foolishly. A grasp of the Judean climate is important to understand the lesson of this session. It's dry. The Judean climate, it's dry with flash flooding. Everything in the water's path gets swept away. And Jesus knew the life of his hearers. He affirmed the wise builder, the one who hears and does. This is exercising personal choice and doing truth. The priority of a Bible study is to make personal application for life, transformation, and ministry. Affirming biblical truth is an act of your will. Then experience the results of surrender doing. This is life built on powerful eternal truth. Jesus warned the foolish builder, the one who hears and does not do. This is the one who refuses to apply truth to his life. Destruction is somewhere out in the future for those who hear and do not apply. This is life built on the inadequacy and instability of human understanding and powerless human reasoning. Listen, the rains will descend. The winds will blow. The floods will come. These are tests of life that prove or disprove the foundation. The rains test our roofs if they leak. The winds test our walls if they're strong. The floods test our foundations if they're firm. Rains, floods, and winds of adversity, of change, of uncertainty, fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, misunderstanding, ridicule, resistance, or insensitivity, among many, many others. Well, let me ask you, how are you building? Are you building on the rock or on the sand? What will you do with the teachings of Jesus? Apply them or reject them or neglect them? Look at verses 28 and 29 of Matthew 7. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What effect did Jesus have on his listeners? They were astonished at his teaching. But why? He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The rabbis just spoke what they had heard, and the people received it as secondhand. Jesus spoke with the authority of truth, the freshness of new light, in the power of the Spirit. His teaching was primary. He's God. Even when he quoted the scriptures, Jesus was the primary source of what he said. In the words of James chapter 1, verses 21 down to verse 25, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Which way? Are you building on the rock, or are you building on the sand? Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for its conclusion here of the two ways. The two ways of responding to what Jesus has to say. the two ways of heaven and hell, the two ways of building a life, on the rock or on the sand. Father, I just pray that you would speak to each one of us, listening online, watching online, here, present. Father, I just pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts, that we would make a commitment to you, a commitment to your word, a recommitment to following you. Father, we just place this all before you for your glory and for your purposes. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.